This hour brought to you by GCNLife.com. Live younger, look younger, feel younger at GCNLife.com. Studios on the campus of the University of Common Sense in the Big Easy, the professor of thinkology and a man dedicated to truth and common sense. America, class is in session right here, right now, with your host, Jim Brown.
Hello there. Welcome to the second hour of the Common Sense Show. Sure glad you're joining us. We're listening to so much good guests today. Our listeners coming from coast to coast and all over the world on the World Wide Web. Rhonda Gray is my co-host here with me right now. Rhonda, you ready for a lively second hour?
I'm ready.
Well, good.
That's an exciting guest.
Well, let's go right into our next guest. Margot Lindmark is joining us right now. She's written a fascinating book called Light in the Morning, Memoirs of an Undertaker's Daughter, but she takes it beyond just preparing the body to be buried. What about the afterlife? I've got lots of questions for Margot. Hey, Margot, welcome to the Common Sense Show.
Thank you so much. It's wonderful to be here.
Let me ask you right off the bat. You're up in the mountains in North Carolina. We've got a lot of listeners in North Carolina, in Statesville, Raleigh, Charlotte. What's your weather like up there today?
It's chilly. It's sunny and beautiful, and the snow is glistening, but it's a little chilly. We're in Boone.
Well, we've got a home. I think you and I talked about this on the phone up in the mountains close by you. And my wife started to drive up yesterday with her sister, I think maybe day before yesterday. There was heavy snow up there you'd gotten, so they postponed the trip just because of the snow. So I'm glad you got sunshine out there today.
Yeah, we sure do.
Margot, talk to us now. You grew up as an undertaker's daughter, and your book, Light in the Morning, tells this story. But make the transition for us. Tell us a little bit about being an undertaker's daughter, and then the transition about when you grew up in a Midwestern funeral home and your dad was an undertaker. A little bit about the mortal soul and the transition that takes place that you learn from personal experiences. And Rhonda's got a bunch of questions here for you, but go ahead and respond to that if you will.
Okay, good. Well, it was interesting growing up in a funeral home because I think we didn't grow up in the funeral home, but we were around it a lot. You know, every day after school, I'd meet my father there with my friends and he'd take us home. And so we spent a lot of time in the funeral home. And I think when you do that, I think growing up around death, it gives you some sort of perspective where you feel very comfortable, very natural. It is natural, of course. And so I think I have a particular maybe perspective and comfort with death that other people don't have. However, what happened to me is when people close to me started to die, you know, my family members and all, they left me very clear messages about life. And every single message completely changed how I lived my life. So even though this is a book about death and about mourning, M-O-U-R-N-I-N-G, I'm hoping that I fulfilled my goal in bringing light to that morning because of my perspective on it. Because I do believe that we live on after the body dies. And that's been through my personal experience of people dying that have contacted me afterward, or my experience of sort of being with them on some level afterward. So I'm convinced that the soul lives on. I don't know how much you want me to talk about before Rhonda starts firing questions.
No, I'm getting ready to laugh about him saying I've got so many questions. I'm fascinated by your book. I've read all these wonderful reviews of it, including from Deepak Chopra and the Marcy Shimoff, the author of Chicken Soup for Woman's Soul, and everyone talking about how compelling your stories are and heart-rendering and uplifting, and I'm fascinated by it. Jim is teasing me, saying you're going to love this next guest. You're going to have a lot of questions. I do want to hear, though, for our listeners, share with us how you got these messages, because I can't wait to read the book. We'll have to have you back on after I do, because I'll have more questions.
Good. I would love to come back on. They came to me in various ways. The messages were really clear. Several people came in dreams, and It's what I call real dreams, because something real happens and a real message is conveyed as if that person were really standing in front of you. When that happens, it's not like an illusory dream where you kind of, you can't remember it when you wake up, you know, or it eludes you very quickly.
Right.
In what I'm calling these real dreams are real visitations from people. The most dramatic story or the most dramatic example of that in my book is the story of my brother. He kept coming to me in dreams after he died, and in every dream, he told me that he was still alive. And one dream in particular, he just came kind of swishing through the door to tell me that he hadn't died. And it was that night that I talked to a friend of his who told me that he was having dreams of my brother, and every night telling him he hadn't died. And I said, I'm having the same dreams. So we both realized that Mike didn't know he had died. He didn't know. And I think this happens quite a bit. I think it often happens that when you drop the body, when the body goes, the soul is just as alive as it ever was. The body just dropped away. I think the soul doesn't realize it dropped the body. I think it thinks it's still alive. And in my brother's case and in many other cases I've heard about, that happens. So I had to tell
Margo,
my brother.
Was he, how old was he when he passed away?
He was 60.
Young. I'm going to say young.
Yeah, young.
Right, uh-huh. Right. That's amazing. And you've shared stories from your personal experience, and these just, you think, happened to have come about because of your growing up around a funeral home? Or did you get these messages from strangers also?
Well, the messages in my book and all of the stories in my book are my own personal stories. I just have also talked to a lot of people since I wrote my book who are telling me their stories that are very similar. So I think there's a common ground here that a lot of people have had the same experience where they've realized that people haven't died. And, you know, until what I did when I realized my brother didn't know he died, I sat on my bed one night and told him verbally out loud. And I could feel him there at the end of my bed. I could feel him there listening. I could feel it make sense to him. And after I told him that, he never came to me in dreams again. So what I did is I contacted a friend of mine who could find him. She's been trained in some sort of shamanic practices where she can find the soul for you. And she did. And we found Mike. And I cannot even tell you, I can cry telling you this, how it was to find my brother on some plane. You know, oftentimes people call it the astral plane, and I can't say that that's for sure, but I think that's where it was. I found him, and it was just exactly him, as if it were in real life, like if we were both in our bodies, it felt exactly the same. And I was talking a mile a minute to him. It was just amazing. I was so happy. Happy doesn't even describe how I felt about seeing my brother again. He'd been dead for a while now, and I found him. It was really the most incredible experience probably of my life. And
well, it's wonderful that you're sharing these, because I think that's why the reviews I've read of the people who have read your book, talk about it being so courageous, and what a gift it is that you are sharing this with other people, as you say, having the same experience, and maybe they've been afraid to tell someone.
Well, you know, it's interesting because I've had many people track me down on the internet and call me and send me letters because it has resonated with them so deeply, and they'll call me and they'll cry and they'll tell me their experience. And it's just been quite an amazing experience for me to get the feedback from people and to see how it either has given them courage or hope or inspiration or perspective or something. So yeah, I think it's been good. And in my brother's case, when I met him on that astral plane,
and Margo,
the person
Margo, unfortunately, Margo, we are out of time, and I'm really sorry because we've got so many more questions. We want to get you back here real soon. The book is called Light in the Morning, Memoirs, An Undertaker's Daughter. Find it on our website at radiocommonsense.com. Have a great weekend, Margo.
I'm going to read this book, Margo. Oh. We'll have you back.
We'll talk to you soon. Take care.
I'll look forward to it.
You're listening to Jim Brown's Common Sense, right here on the Genesis Communications Radio Network at GCNLive.com. What's for dinner tonight? Tired of cooking the same old meals? Can I offer a suggestion? What about Cajun? That's right, Cajun. But wait, I know what you're thinking. Never tried it, don't know how, don't have all the ingredients. Well, I got some good news for you. Cajun Mike, host of Cooking with Cajun, has put together a step-by-step instructional video, along with the recipes on how to cook these iconic dishes like gumbo, etouffee, jambalaya, and over 150 Cajun and Creole recipes. And it's now available to you. Just think, you can now cook the same dishes that are served in some of the finest restaurants in New Orleans. And listen to this. He will also deliver all the ingredients right to your doorstep. So what are you waiting for? To order your personalized instructional video along with the recipes, go to cookingwithcajun.com. That's cookingwithcajun.com. To order your home delivery, call 855-785-0222. That's 855-785-0222. Yahee! And bon appetit!
The United States of Empire is a book that claims the United States is the empire of the world. George Washington had warned us against foreign wars. The United States of Empire shows that World Wars I and II left England broken. Its former colony, the U.S., had to save the empire. Was there ever a vote? Who do we fight for? The Deep State began with World War I. The United States of Empire by James Dunn. Available at Amazon Books.
Hear that? That's the sound of a house being trashed while a gang of thieves ransack the place. And what they don't steal will be destroyed.
This year, resolve not to be the next victim of a break-in. Go to faketv.com and discover a device that creates the illusion someone inside is watching TV, even when you're miles away. Security is a mindset, and Fake TV should be part of your security solution. Be vigilant, but not fearful. faketv.com.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, the inventor of MyPillow, and like all of you out there, I had problems sleeping. Pillows would go flat, I would flip-flop all night long, I would wake up with a sore neck, maybe a headache, or feel like I needed a nap even though I slept 8 hours. When I invented MyPillow, I wanted it to where you can move the patented fill to give you the exact support you need as an individual, regardless of sleep position. MyPillow will get you into that deep sleep faster, and you will stay there longer. It's not about how much time we spend in bed, it's about how much of that quality sleep we get. I do all of my own manufacturing right here in the United States. I have a 10-year warranty. You can wash and dry my pillow, and I give you a 60-day money-back guarantee, so you have nothing to lose.
And here's Mike's best offer ever. My Pillow is now offering 50% off their 4-pack special plus free shipping. Go to MyPillow.com or call 800-870-0305 and use promo code GCN. That's 50% off plus free shipping. Don't delay. Order now.
Want revenge on the common housefly? Well, after 10,000 years, someone has finally come up with a better way. The Bug Assault, a miniaturized shotgun, which utilizes ordinary table salt as ammunition. Non-toxic and no batteries required. So much fun, you'll forget you have a wife and kids. Makes the perfect stocking stuffer. Get your Bug Assault today and save $10 on the Bug Beam Laser Combo, only at BugAssault.com.
You are listening to GCN. Visit GCNLive.com today.
Welcome back to Jim Brown's Common Sense. Now, here's your host and professor of Thinkology, Jim Brown.
It was kind of weak talking talking about President George H.W. Bush, passed away this week, and of course it was a very very memorable and formal funeral. They spent it was quite a pageant, wasn't it, Ron? I mean, it took most the whole week to go ahead and bury the ex-president, and it was
a pageant, Jim. And I saw an interview with someone who worked in the White House who explained that a month or so after you take office as president, they come to you and they begin planning your funeral. And they said it's a little shaky at first because you're just taking on this new job. You're excited about leading the free world. And they come sit down and say, Mr. President, we have to talk to you about planning your funeral.
Good.
And they get it planned, and they continue updating it for your term of office. And then when you leave office, they check in with you periodically with increasing frequency. So if you think of someone in President Bush's age, he would have updated his funeral plans within probably a month because they've been checking in with him regularly to see if anything had changed. So he's been out of office for so long that he certainly had an ample opportunity to have it exactly the way he wanted it.
Well, he did, and apparently there was some very detailed planning way in advance. In turn, the family made it clear that they really wanted the president to come, and I understood there were some negotiations as far as the grapevine. You don't know how much to believe, but there were some negotiations involving the fact that none of the speakers would say anything derogatory against the president if he's going to come to the funeral. And you know, he was not invited to John McCain's funeral.
Or
Barbara Bush's funeral. So I'm sure there was some tense negotiations there about how a lot of those items would be handled.
Well, the optics of it, first of all, he certainly should be at a former president's funeral. He certainly should have been invited. The optics of him sitting on a front row of a funeral with a group of people that he's spoken so harshly about was interesting, and it looked uncomfortable for him, to be honest with you. I thought it was awkward for him as well.
Well, especially with Hillary Clinton, who he's screamed, lock her up, on so many occasions, just being a few feet away from him, and President Clinton also there. And so,
well, and he questioned Obama's legitimacy as a president. He called Jimmy Carter the worst president in history, and he's got to go sit a few feet from all of these people.
Well, I think the optics were such that it was a wonderful celebration for an ex-president. We should do that. I saw guys who went the whole week once his body was flown back on Air Force One or whatever plane took it back. The funeral was in Houston, and then he was buried at Texas A&M and College Station, Texas, and they had a train. And I saw a picture of the engine. It was painted like Air Force One to go 80 miles. And so a lot of symbolism and a lot of optics, as you said. Now, in fairness, though, he was someone who looked like a gentleman. He was a pretty good ex-president. He kind of had some highs and lows, though, as a one-term president, defeated by Bill Clinton, was a pretty rough campaigner. He was a little easier as president campaigner, but I might point out that he strongly opposed the Civil Rights Act when he was running for U.S. Senate, where he was defeated. He did some very heavy-handed TV spots in his campaign for president. The Willie Horton ad stands out, to where he brought in racial tension into the campaign when he ran against Governor Dukakis of Massachusetts. And so he might have been a gentle ex-president, but he was a pretty tough cookie on the campaign trail.
He was a fighter, and so was Barbara Bush. You know, she would get out, and she was a spitfire campaigner as well. You're right. He had the fortune of living very long after his presidency, and as is the case with Jimmy Carter, they have these other lives of doing philanthropic work and good things. And I think the best thing ever that he did that put him on this path to being so well-liked in his later years was when he worked with Bill Clinton, and they developed a true friendship, it appears, working for disaster relief, raising funds and things like that, showing that you can mend fences and work for the greater good of the country together.
Well, no doubt about that. And I think he was particularly in the aura of so much controversy over the present president. I think it was a good little bit of a healing process. I don't know how long it'll last. But as you said, Trump was very subdued this week in going to the Capitol Rotunda to visit the president's body when it laid in state, and then, of course, at the funeral itself. So he was not the center of attention that he always claims to be. You know?
Well, and considering last week was not an easy week for him with some of these special prosecutor reports being filed and new information coming out, and lots of reports, again, if you can believe the grapevine, that he wasn't especially happy about some things. I do think as far as the part of the funeral service that took place in Washington, that he showed up and did what we expect a president to do. And then he did what we expect this president to do. And the night of the Washington services, he ended the evening by tweeting out his approval ratings, which were up a little bit. So he can't help himself
Trump
sometimes. like his campaign folks used to say, let Trump be Trump.
I never met George Bush. I've met several presidents. I met Jimmy Carter, Richard Nixon, Bill Clinton, Gerald Ford. I had several conversations with Gerald Ford. But I never met George Bush, but I had one interesting story I can share with our listeners. The Republican National Convention that nominated George Bush took place in New Orleans at the Superdome. And so I went down. I got some press credentials, and I was up in a box suite. I had a friend who had a box suite. If you ever, folks, any stadium's got these big boxes. The Superdome was unique back in the 80s, being the biggest enclosed venue in the world and having a lot of box suites. So I was observing, and I saw the president give his speech while I was up in a box with thousands and thousands of people there. I was by myself. Well, the door opened, and I turned around, and it was Senator Bob Dole. And he said, oh, I must have the wrong suite. I'm looking for something else. I said, well, Senator, you're welcome to come in and rest. He said, well, you know, I'm tired. I'll take you up on that. And I had a little bar there, fixed him a drink. I think he drank a little bourbon. And he sat down next to me out in on the Superdome suite balcony to watch the convention. And he said, you know, Bush made a big mistake with that no new taxes. He said, that's going to come back and haunt him. That's going to come back and haunt him.
And I think his moment of the week of the Bush funeral was one of the most heartbreaking of him standing to
salute
the
president. I want to come back and talk about that. That was so moving. I did want to talk about that with Senator Bob Dole. Hey, going to take a pause right now. Ronna Gray's here with me on the Common Sense Show. Our website's radiocommonsense.com. Go to our website. You'll have some fun. See my new column. See a lot about Ronna's new book. And we'll come back and talk some more about the legacy of George Bush right after this message.
Listening to Jim Brown's Common Sense, right here on the Genesis Communications Radio Network at GCNLive.com. Join the club. That's the Cajun Mike Cooking Club for only $9.95 per month. You'll learn how to cook Cajun. Just think, iconic, authentic dishes like gumbo, etouffee, jambalaya, and red beans and rice from a real New Orleans Cajun. Cajun Mike will also reveal other secret family recipes that up until now have never been revealed to the public. As a VIP member, you'll receive a couple of authentic Cajun and Creole recipes a month, a step-by-step instruction video, access to our weekly conference calls where you can ask Cajun Mike any question or comment about the recipe. Did I also mention about our product discounts? That's only available to our VIP members. So what are you waiting for? To become a Cajun Mike Cooking Club member, go to cookingwithcajun.com. That's cookingwithcajun.com. Or call Cajun Mike at 855-785-0222. That's 855-785-0222. 855-785-0222. Cookingwithcajun.com. Cajun, right at your doorstep.
You USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
Four changes being made in the Trump administration. The president yesterday confirming he's named a new chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff. Here's USA Radio's John Clemens.
Army Chief of Staff General Mark Milley is the choice of President Trump to become the next top military advisor, replacing General Joseph Dunford, who is retiring in October of next year.
The president also confirming that he'll be hiring a new chief of staff for himself.
John Kelly will be leaving at the end of the year. We'll be announcing who will be taking John's place. It might be on an interim basis.
Winter storms causing travel problems nationwide. One big storm in the southeast U.S. is dumping snow, ice, and rain on several states. Governors in Virginia and North Carolina have declared states of emergencies. And this is USA Radio News.
Balance of Nature's fruits and veggies in a capsule. Thousands of doctors, health specialists, and professionals recommend Balance of Nature as a way of improving their health. Listen to a few unsolicited success stories from doctors that not only recommend it, but use Balance of Nature as well.
I look at Balance of Nature, and I look what it's doing for me as I started taking it, and for the patients that I have that are taking it, it's been phenomenal watching the changes that have happened and how much healthier and how much more energy that they have. I haven't heard any negative feedback from any of my patients who have been taking the product. The thing that amazes me with it is that it's so simple.
When you call, use discount code USA, and we'll take 35% off your first month's order and ship it to you free. Call 800-246-8751. That's 1-800-246-8751. Or go online to balanceofnature.com and use discount code USA.
Jake was in big trouble with the IRS. He owed how much?
$92,000.
Ouch. The IRS left no room for Jake to breathe.
They put a lien on my house, took all the money out of my bank account, took money out of my paychecks. So it was a nightmare.
He needed help fast.
I figured that all these companies were the same until I called Federal Tax Management. You could just tell they knew what they were talking about. Right then and there, I felt like I had some hope.
Stop the liens, levies, and garnishments fast and qualify for one of several special IRS programs that could reduce or even eliminate your tax debt. So, how'd it go for Jake?
They did what they said they would do. They came through for me. I ended up saving an unbelievable amount. I was so jazzed. I was extremely happy.
If you owe more than $10,000 in back taxes, take Jake's advice.
Give Federal Tax Management a phone call. If they help me, they can help anybody.
Call the Federal Tax Management Hotline now. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNlive.com today.
Welcome back to Jim Brown's Common Sense. Now, here's your host and professor of Thinkology, Jim Brown.
Here with Ron and Ray on the Common Sense Show. Our website's radiocommonsense.com. Sure glad you're joining us on this pre-Christmas weekend. Ron and I, before the break, were talking about George Bush. And, Ron, I was so moved. I've had a chance to meet Senator Dole on several occasions, and his wife, Libby Dole, was head of the National Red Cross. I was invited to a dinner with her in Natchez, Mississippi many years ago. They're just a wonderful couple. But they, Senator Dole, who was majority leader of the Senate, ran for president, was not successful in, against Bill Clinton. He'd been shot, and he was in World War II, and his arm never rose above his elbow. He never could get his arm up very high. But he was there in a wheelchair. He's 95 years old. And at some point in time, he was in the wheelchair. They're looking at the body at Langen State in the rotunda of the state capitol, right close to the body. Being a VIP, they put him up there close. And he struggled to stand up. And a couple of aides went to help him, and he pushed them away. And on his own strength, he forced himself to get up. And then in a very memorable moment, he saluted the body of his friend, George Bush.
Saluting with his left hand, because as you said, his right arm, he couldn't lift. And so he still managed to salute with that left hand.
That's right.
It was such a moving moment.
Yeah,
there.
A great senator and a coalition builder too, just as Bush was. I mean, Dole would have been a good president, I think, in terms of the healing. He worked across the aisle. Something that just doesn't take place today. You see the signs that took place when you look at Clinton, when you looked at Dole, when you looked at George Bush, when you looked at John McCain, Bush's son, George Bush, George H. Bush, the second, I guess Bush 43, is that his number?
George W.
Okay.
Right.
Yeah. He, to some degree...
43, they call him, right.
Okay. And he, to some degree, worked across the aisle, and there was healing, there was working through problems. That just doesn't take place today. I mean, look, if you're in one party or the other side is your enemy. You do everything you can to undermine them. Look at what's happened in this last election with the bitter fighting that took place, the challenges to the leadership, and now the polarization that's taking place in Congress. I don't know just when it started. I think it probably started, if I could say, with Barack Obama when he was first elected and the president of the Senate. Got up on the floor, a senator from Kentucky, got up on the floor, and the senator from Kentucky, I lost my, okay.
Can't help you.
And I'm throwing out Everett Dirksen.
I was going to bring up Alan Simpson, who spoke at the funeral yesterday, supposedly.
I did not hear him speak.
It was terrific. You have to watch that one in replay. He was funny. He's like 87 years old, represented the state of Wyoming for our listeners out west, and Bush's best friend in the Senate, and funny. And the first thing he said was about the president would be making some joke about how long he would talk. But don't worry, because President George W. Bush limited me on time. You know, he said Alan Simpson never has a few words to say about anything. So, but it was very heartwarming also to hear that. And again, just the visuals of the Bush children, one that was elected president, another that ran for president. The others have led quieter lives, but such a great family.
And I think they were kind of an established East Coast family. And you got to hand it to George H.W. Bush. He left the comfortable life of the East Coast, went to Texas to be a wildcatter in the oil business.
Right.
Did very well there, made a lot of money in the oil business out in Texas. And then his children were raised there. And George W. Bush, he had a colorful career earlier, didn't really have a focus on life, bought the Dallas baseball team, and then was a two-term governor of Texas. And my daughter, Campbell, that was White House correspondent for NBC News during the Bush W. Bush White House years, she developed a special relationship with Bush. On the weekend, Bush, when he ran for president, was governor of Texas. He would travel throughout the country campaigning. But on the weekends, he liked to spend Saturday night back at the governor's mansion in Austin, Texas. So he'd tell the press about noon Saturday, okay, you guys have a good weekend, you folks, and I'll see you Monday morning. We'll get campaigning again. Well, the major news sources, NBC, CBS, wanted to have at least one person stay with him in case something dramatic happened. And my daughter was the designated person to do that. So she'd fly back to Austin with Governor Bush. And with only two or three reporters on the plane, he'd come back and loosen his tie. She said he kicked his boots off and got a little bit more informal with
her. Right.
And so she picked up, and he kind of picked up on my daughter, Campbell is her name, picked up on her name, a different name, a family name, kind of a neutral name. And so he asked her about where she got the name Campbell. She said it was a family name. Well, then when the press conferences started during the week and he was calling on reporters, he didn't have the greatest memory, but he knew Campbell because he'd been her on the plane. And he'd call, and so she got called on right at the first of all the press conferences. And that impressed NBC News, and so she was made White House correspondent because of that, the extra effort.
And what an interesting campaign she covered there. That one ended up being very interesting.
Oh, that's right. So
we didn't know he was president for a while.
That's right.
So that was a great one for a reporter to cover.
The Chads and the boats in Florida that came out.
We wouldn't even know what hanging Chads were if not for that campaign.
No doubt about
the other visual, I thought. You had the five presidents on the front row, counting President George W. Bush, who sat with his family, but the four former presidents there. Then you had five former vice presidents sitting right behind them.
Right. I saw Joe Biden, Cheney.
Quayle, Dan and Marilyn Quayle were there. Al Gore was down on the end behind Jimmy and Rosalynn Carter. It was fascinating. It was a fascinating photo to see that many people. And then you had behind them the first daughters, Chelsea Clinton and Ivanka Trump, who had been friends at one time, but admittedly had not talked to each other. They were seated side by side and talking before the ceremony got started. So a presidential funeral brings together all these people from our government where they have to sit nicely and behave for a period of time. And I think it's good for the country to see that.
I think it's kind of a uniting factor in the country. And who knows where we go from here. Maybe it's softened up the president a little bit. There will be an effort to work a little better in terms of working across the aisle. And now that particularly now that the House of Representatives is controlled by the Republicans, rather by the Democrats, overwhelmingly, up to 40-vote majority right now. There's still a question of the North Carolina race that's going on right now in terms of voter fraud. So I hope it's maybe a demarcation line where the country can move forward, because there are so many issues we've got to deal with. I don't know if we'll have time to talk about it today. I want to talk about Afghanistan, what's happening halfway around the world that we tune out on, but costs us not billions but trillions of dollars, loss of life of so many Americans. That's not part of the national debate. The whole issue of immigrants down the border, the tragedies down there, tear gassing, and so many issues that need to be addressed. And it's both the president, who certainly takes the lead, but Congress has its responsibility.
And the clock's ticking on this new Democratic House of Representatives taking office. So you're right. They're going to be dealing with the two-party system soon.
And, of course, we've got a presidential election in 2020.
Oh.
We're up to about 200 potential Democratic candidates. So we'll give us plenty to talk about. Hey, going to take a pause right now. I'm here with Rhonda Gray. Our website's radiocommonsense.com. You can have some fun on our website. Read my column. Read all about Rhonda's new book. And get some good information for you. Still got a segment to go. So stay with us. Freshen up your coffee. We'll be right back today to make some more common sense.
You're listening to Jim Brown's Common Sense, right here on the Genesis Communications Radio Network at GCNLive.com.
Offer not valid in all states or where prohibited by law. Loans are subject to lender approval. See website for details.
Do you need extra cash to buy gifts or just to pay all those extra bills during the holidays? Well, now you can get cash fast this holiday season with a personal loan for up to $5,000 right from your phone or PC at 79cash.com. How fast can you get your cash? Well, with 79cash.com, our lenders can have your cash at your bank account as soon as tomorrow, regardless of your credit history. Just have a checking account and a regular source of income. Go to 79cash.com and you can get the cash loan you need now. So if you need cash fast this holiday season to buy gifts or pay all those extra bills, go to 79cash.com and get the cash you need. Visit 79cash.com. Type www.79cash.com directly into the address bar. That's 79cash.com. 79cash.com. 79cash.com.
Extendivite, a 7-herb combination made from garlic, cayenne, hawthorn, bilberry, ginkgo biloba, valerian, and milk thistle. Extendivite feeds our body with the right nutrients to keep us healthy. Just listen to what Arthur has to say.
I was just calling to tell you what a great product you have. I had used this about 10 years ago after I had congestive heart failure. And it fixed me up and got me going for the last 10 years. Lately, I've been having heart trouble again, so I placed another order because this was the only thing that ever worked. And I just wanted to let you know that you have a great product.
To order, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. Or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with ExtendoVite.
Bacon lovers, we ship free. Try our amazing bacon. No refrigeration required. Proprietary value-added packaging provides 10-year shelf life and protects the leanest, thickest, center-cut, fully cooked bacon in America today. Ready to eat right from the pouch or warm and serve. Savory and delicious. Wholesale price for your everyday use. Order today at ReadyToEatBacon.com. ReadyToEatBacon.com.
Childhood is full of wonder, and we get the chance to relive it with our grandchildren every day. But imagine missing special moments with a grandchild or seeing them through cloudy vision. The Foundation Fighting Blindness can help by providing valuable information about diagnosing and treating AMD. Age-related macular degeneration is the leading cause of vision loss in people 55 and older, but it doesn't have to be. The Foundation Fighting Blindness is driving research and saving sight by providing information about diagnosing and treating AMD. Don't miss a moment of your grandchildren's youthful wonder because of poor vision. Learn more about vision-saving preventions and treatments. Call the Foundation Fighting Blindness today at 1-800-BLINDNESS for a free packet on reversing or managing AMD. Or go to the website fightblindness.org where you can find so much helpful information. Call 1-800-BLINDNESS today. That number again is 1-800-BLINDNESS or fightblindness.org.
Are you afraid to go to the mailbox because of letter after letter from the IRS? Are they stacking on more and more penalties and interest? By now, you know the problem won't go away on its own. Don't let the IRS chase you to your grave with penalties and interest and liens and levies. You need real help now. I'm Dan Pilla. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I help thousands of people solve tax problems they thought couldn't be solved. I can help you too. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com. Danpilla.com.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNLive.com today.
Welcome back to Jim Brown's Common Sense. Now, here's your host and professor of Thinkology, Jim Brown.
Well, I'm here with Rhonda Gray on the Common Sense Radio Show. RadioCommonSense.com is our website. Here's the hot story if you live in New Jersey, Rhonda. School officials said a substitute teacher told first grade students in New Jersey that Santa Claus... Now, first grade students, 6 years old, that Santa Claus isn't real, and there is no Santa Claus. Also made some disparaging remarks about the Easter Bunny, the Tooth Fairy, and Elf on the Shelf. Just not real.
How can you make disparaging comments about the Easter Bunny?
Let it go.
What is wrong with you?
The Easter Bunny. But some people take what they think is a more modern view that you shouldn't confuse our kids. But we've all grown up with the image of Santa Claus. I mentioned Hanukkah Harry before on the show, if you happen to be Jewish. But I don't think that warps our kids. Were you affected in a negative way? Because
I think those are all the most wonderful stories, that it sparks imagination. It brings such excitement to children. My great nieces, who I mentioned, I wrote my latest children's book with, are very into Elf on the Shelf. They have a little holiday decorated mailbox, and every night they put notes or sometimes treats or something in it, because the elf on the shelf lives in their home flies back to the North Pole every night. And then he comes back every day and lands in a different place. And they told me this past week they were taking a letter to Santa Claus. They're going to have their picture taken at a mall in New Orleans with the letter to Santa Claus. And the three kids were debating among themselves, do they take the letter to the mall and hand and put it in the mailbox sitting by Santa, or do they put it in the mailbox at the house and let the elf on the shelf deliver it to the North Pole? And their logic was, if you took it to the mall, there's going to be thousands of kids putting it in that mailbox. and they don't know how long it's going to take to get to the North Pole. But the elf on the shelf, since he's flying every night, they said it's kind of like Amazon Prime. And they felt like it was going to have a greater chance of getting there.
Good. So. That's good reasoning. That's very good reasoning.
So I love all these stories. I love the Tooth Fairy. Bring them all on. My grandmother, before she passed away, you know, you would have never heard her say she didn't believe in Santa Claus. She still spoke about Santa Claus coming for Christmas.
My daughter had a son, and she put this on Facebook, got all kinds of comments. And when the her number two son, my grandson, Asher, when Asher lost a tooth, she forgot to put the tooth, get the tooth under the pillow. And so when she got up the next morning, he said to her, "Mom, I know you're not the Tooth Fairy. I know this because you wouldn't have forgot. You wouldn't have forgot."
I tell you, I would have fought the substitute teacher if she had told me in first grade that she didn't believe in Santa Claus.
Well, she was terminated. She is no longer working in the New Jersey school system. And a good move up there, you folks, because we got to have special things to believe
in. What a Grinch. What a Grinch.
With so many terrible things going on in the country and the world, and we need to have something to hold on to point to, and the Christmas season with all of the elves and the reindeer and all the marvelous stories. And I'll tell you what I'm just a sucker for is Charles Dickens' The Christmas Carol, and it's not the new version. I like George C. Scott and some of the newer versions. I like the original version, go back to 1933 in black and white. I can't remember exactly who the characters were, marvelous Scrooge, marvelous Bob Cratchit, his nephew, so full of joy, Tiny Tim, just marvelous characters in that movie. I watch it not once a year, but four or five times over the Christmas season.
Oh, wow.
And I always enjoy it, and I always like to see the chains on Jacob Marley. And, Marley, such a marvelous story. I studied Dickens when I went to Cambridge University over in England. And Marley is the voice of second chances. You know, he says, look, I don't have a second chance, but I'm giving you the gift of a second chance. And it's a message of renewal at the first of the year. We start with Thanksgiving. We start kind of evaluating ourselves and giving thanks for what we have. And then we take the next step to Christmas. And it's certainly a strong religious holiday. It's a holiday of rebirth, of the born, being born. It's for the Jewish community in Hanukkah. Their eight-day celebration for being able to survive.
Survive, right. And victory.
And that's right. And then the new year. And you wish Happy New Years, and then you think about your future, what you plan for the future. So it's more than just giving some presents and saying, well, let's just get together. It's great to do that, to get together as family. But if you think about the flow from Thanksgiving to Christmas to the New Year, it's all part of giving us second chances. And I believe in second chances. And we've all had highs and lows in our life, but there's ways to move on and find a better way to approach the problems that you have. And so that's why I think the Christmas season is much more than just one incident, one gift, one focus on one individual or one special person, even if it's the Lord himself. I think it's the time of second chances. And I hope all you listeners out there will follow through in terms of thinking that through, going back and renewing friendships. Facebook is under such a attack right now, Rana. They want to take the government, blow up the monopoly, and it's being criticized every day. I found it wonderful to reconnect with friends I had in high school and college that I hadn't talked to in so many years. And I had an old girlfriend of mine back in college that I'd forgotten about 50 years ago, about 3 months ago, kind of contacted me on Facebook. She said, I just want to tell you hi. I kind of follow your posts, and you got a great family, and I'm glad it's going well for you. And
it was nice. Huh?
It really was nice. So anyway, all that flows into the holiday season, where we take a little break and things slow down a bit, and we enjoy talking about all those things on the second.
There's some great values to Facebook, like that, and a high school classmate of mine lives in Wasilla, Alaska, and she was able to post within minutes of that earthquake, we're safe, minimal damage. And I thought, she's got family here in Louisiana, and friends all over the country, and you're able to let people know instantly, things like that, or reconnect with someone from your past. I've reconnected with a lot of elementary school friends that I hadn't seen in all those years. But then all this collecting of data has everyone very uncomfortable. I think Facebook got a little big. It's going to have some regulations and keep it what it was intended to be, which was let friends share.
Well, of course, it's not a government entity, though. It's a creation of one person or a group of young fellas. So I guess the argument would be made, well, look, if you don't like it, then, you know, if you
don't give us all your personal data.
That's right. Don't lay it all in there to you. If you don't want the Russians snooping over your stuff. And then the alternative is that I Twitter, but I don't get into Instagram and to Snapchat. My daughter called me, whether I finally got my granddaughter on the phone, my oldest granddaughter. I said, well, you haven't called me in a while, and then I've called you and left word. She says, JB, I don't answer my telephone. I'm not on Facebook. Snapchat. If you want to contact me, Snapchat. And so I said, okay.
Well, first of all, you have to tell your granddaughter that you tweet. Don't say that you Twitter.
Oh, is that what I did?
That's a sure sign that we're not going to be on social media with them.
She doesn't Twitter, tweet, twat, whatever it happens to be at all. So I'm not at this stage on Snapchat, but that's my next commitment so I can communicate with one of my grandchildren. So we're going to start Snapchatting a little bit here the first year. That's one of my resolutions for the new year. So, and we'll talk about resolutions. I hope we all, again, it's part of that whole flow we talked about of the renewal in the beginning. I think New Year's resolutions are important. You may not keep them all, but I think it's good. We'll kind of, you know, a lot of you, if you got some creative New Year's resolutions, wish you'd email us. You can go to our site at radiocommonsense.com and get our address. Tell us what your New Year's resolutions are. I want to read some of them on the air. I make them every year. I think we all should. And, of course, you know, I'm going to lose 30 pounds. Well, there's lots of ways you can approach resolutions, and that may be one of them. And you can lose 30 pounds if you set your mind to it. That's a pretty big bite, particularly with the holidays coming on and all the good food.
That's why the New Year's resolutions come at the perfect time, because you're coming off that Thanksgiving to Christmas, eating all the rich food. So New Year's resolutions sound pretty good at that point.
They certainly do. They certainly do. Well, folks, we're out of time. I hope we didn't ramble too much with you. I hope the weather's handling. Got some bad weather in the weekend going up to our friends from Alaska right down through the Midwest. We wish you well in dealing with those issues as we approach the holiday season. Rana, you have a great week. Real quick.
Quick reminder, go to Familiar Evil Book on Facebook. The first 10 people who send me a private message with their addresses are going to get a free copy of my book.
Familiar Evil on Facebook.
Or FamiliarEvil.com.
Have a great week, folks. We'll be back same time, same station to make some more common sense. Take care.
You're listening to Jim Brown's Common Sense, right here on the Genesis Communications Radio Network at GCNLive.com.
The most recognizable name in all of home improvement radio, the Cajun contractor Michael King, host of Home Talk USA, is now available for your next speaking engagement. That's right. You can have one of the most exciting, energetic personalities on the radio today speak at your next function. If your trade organization or company needs a qualified speaker to talk about home improvement products, technologies, and services, even the current state of your industry, please give him a call today. The Cajun contractor Michael King is a qualified, license-tested contractor with an extensive knowledge of home improvement construction and repairs, and is regarded by his peers as one of the top experts in his field and the home improvement industry in general. His keen sense of humor and entertaining delivery will really make your next function one to remember. Call the Cajun contractor Michael King today at 985-641-3730. That's 985-641-3730. 985-641-3730. Michael King at HometalkMedia.com. 985-641-3730. Michael King at HometalkMedia.com. C'est le bon temps roulé. Let the good times roll.
Normal blood pressure, naturally. How would that make you feel?
I'm Don from New Mexico. January of 2000, I had a heart attack. Then my real health began going downhill. I had high blood pressure, diabetes, poor vision. I wasn't sleeping well. I was a mess.
Don reports dramatic improvements with Heart and Body Extract.
I started taking Heart and Body Extract from within a few days. I started sleeping better. My blood pressure normalized. My diabetes normalized. My sleep improved.
Experience these benefits and more when your body heals itself with the assistance of Heart and
body extract. Order at hbextract.com or call 866-295-5305. That's hbextract.com or call 866-295-5305.
And folks, I did not expect this at all. By the 7th, 8th, and 9th day, I saw dramatic improvements from taking Heart and Body Extract.
Heart and Body Extract comes with a 100% ironclad money-back guarantee. Details at hbextract.com or call 866-295-5305 for Heart and Body Extract.